This is the final podcast on the basic counseling skills known as ORS. This time, we look at the role of summarizing. We'll talk about some theory about summaries, describe the process, and give some examples. And then we'll go into how to tweak your summaries to make them most effective. There's an old Danish proverb, "Life is not holding a good hand, life is playing a poor hand well." Summarizing accomplishes many things. One of them is to help you and the client to play a poor hand well. In other words, taking whatever is true and available in that person's life right now that will support positive change and moving forward with it. I hope you will see this process in some of the examples. Summarizing is essentially a process of reflecting, and this time you reflect a bunch of things you've heard today, and maybe even include some from other sessions. Your summary is from the client's perspective, not yours. It may be tempting to summarize what you've covered or what you know about the importance of breastfeeding or weaning the child off the bottle. The most powerful summaries only include the client's perspective. You can summarize periodically throughout and also at the end of the contact. These two times to summarize have slightly different functions, and we'll talk about that more in a bit. Let's take a look at one example. Notice that it's worded from her view, not mine. After a bit of a discussion, I'll say, "Let's say if I hear you right, Mrs. Jones, you're worried that your son is still using a bottle all day and know that this may be contributing to his excess weight gain. You've been offering him a cup at meals and you're pleased that he seems to be able to use it. You're not ready yet to put him to bed without a bottle. You liked my idea of bringing a sippy cup whenever you're out, and you're going to start doing that today. Have I missed anything?" We'll have more examples later and a format to use. When does it make sense to summarize? Certainly when it's time for you to ask for action. For example, you've been wandering around the topic of offering more vegetables to the children. The client agrees it's a good idea, and you've provided some ideas, and now you want the client to actually make a commitment. So you like the idea of incorporating more veggies in dinner and believe it's good for your kids. You were puzzled about what to start with that they will like, and we talked about some ideas. So tell me what you're going to do this week. Notice that summary helps me focus us before asking that open-ended question. You also may find a summary helpful for when you feel it's important to shift gears, when it's time to wrap up one section of the session and move on. In that same example, let's say the client had made some commitment statements in the discussion. My summary may sound like this. You like the idea of incorporating more veggies in dinner and believe it's good for your kids. You liked some of the ideas we came up with. You're going to start with things they can have a hand in preparing. What else would be useful today? We could talk about that issue of your son's bottle, or is discussing ideas for saving money at the market more important right now? Notice how this focuses the discussion when it's been wandering around. When you hear a client being ambivalent and you believe that discussing it further would be useful, you essentially do a double-sided reflection and then ask permission to explore the ambivalence, for example, with a pregnant woman. So you know breastfeeding is a good idea, and you also are worried you will not have enough time. So you're at sort of a stuck place here. How about we take a few minutes to explore more about the pros and cons of breastfeeding. You may also find it useful to do a brief summary before asking permission to provide information, especially when you expect you're going to get resistance. Those are those tough moments where you need to bring up something important. For example, a child is going off the top of the weight gain chart, and mom tells you she feeds him just the way the pediatrician says and gives him fruits and vegetables every day. You might say, "I hear that you're proud of how you're feeding your son and like to know you're following the doctor's advice. May we look together for a few minutes at his growth chart? In this case, the summary includes some affirming, and you end the summary with asking permission. Certainly, it's always useful to have a summary at the end of a contact. Make it a habit to remember everything the client says they'll do, even if it's really small. You may jot them down if that's easier for you, so that then at the end, you can include in your summary any commitments that they've made. What to include in your summary? Here's a simple format to follow if you want one. A large part of your summary is the change talk that you've heard. There'll be more on finding change talk in another podcast coming up. You can circle around them, and it doesn't have to be pretty, just manage to reflect back as much of the change talk as you've heard. If there were any steps that the participant has taken so far, even if very small, you can affirm them again in the summary. If there was any commitment to do anything, a plan, certainly include that. Search for one, even if it's small, so the client leaves with a sense of commitment. If there was not a behavior goal the client agreed to, perhaps it would fit to include that they're going to think about. For example, if you really did get into a discussion about breastfeeding or beginning the process of weaning their son off a bottle, and they didn't really make any commitment, you could at least say, "So this is something you've decided to think a bit more about." I'm often asked, should we include the sustained talk that we hear? In other words, the language that moves toward not making changes. Including a tiny bit of it is a good idea to show you are listening. However, repeating a lot of the client's arguments for not changing doesn't help the change process. Include an open-ended question at the end of your summary. If you're using the summary as a segue, you could then add asking permission to shift gears, asking permission to give advice, or you might ask a question that explores ambivalence. If the summary is at the end, your question might simply be, "Did I get it all?" So what does summarizing do? The first three things are accomplished by almost any summary. The summarizing shows that you've been listening and remembering. It conveys respect and empathy, just like all reflections do. It helps you pull together the themes yourself. I don't know about you, but my memory certainly needs help, and remembering to summarize helps keep me on target. It allows you to confirm your image of what is true. Remember that communication is never perfect, and a summary allows the client to correct you if you've gotten something a little bit off. These other four things that summaries do take a bit more skill to accomplish. This is where summaries get more powerful. For those of you who do summaries already, you might choose an aspect here to practice in the coming weeks. Summaries can re-emphasize certain aspects or ideas. You can repeat your reframes and your twists. You can selectively include change talk rather than sustained talk. Summaries can help shift gears. They're really a good idea. When the conversation seems to have gotten off track, you summarize in such a way to refocus or to move on. And maybe most importantly, summarizing helps the client hear their own motivations all together in one place. Here's where you present a summary of their own change talk. When you do that, it can be surprising and empowering for your clients. We and our participants do get flustered sometimes and feel frustrated. Feeling inadequate means you're inadequate at what you're focused on. Our summaries can guide the client to refocus on things they are adequate at and therefore get unstuck. Now it's time to look for ways to practice summarizing. Some people find it useful to have the simple format in the "What to Include" slide handy on a sticky note or a card that they carry around for a few weeks. If you have a chance to observe a session that another WIC counselor does, you can practice by jotting down a summary that you could have said in the middle of the session or at the end. You could also think of a client you saw recently, or simply a typical client, and wander your way through a summary as best you can. It doesn't have to be perfectly edited. It helps to practice saying it out loud to a coworker or supervisor, or even into an audio recorder, just as you would say it to the participant. And then maybe you can go back and edit it a bit, tweak it, and do it some more. Play with summaries. Have fun with them. You can assume that it takes a lot of practice to get so summaries are easy.